All right, well, we are going to have fun tonight as we look at our missions in our church. If you want to, you can take your Bibles and open to the book of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, of course, this is probably a very familiar passage to most of us, I would say. Matthew chapter 28, in verse number 18, he says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So notice, as he says here in verse number 18, he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." And then there's one word right after that. What is that first word right after that? What is it?
Go.
Come on, what is it?
Go.
It's just a two-letter word. Everybody should be able to read it, right? It's two letters. G-O says...
Go.
Go, right? So he says, we are to go. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." So we're to evangelize, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So after a person gets saved, they're to be baptized. And then he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So there should be discipleship. There should be helping them to grow in their faith and in their walk with the Lord. And so here's what he says. Again, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," right? And of course, we know in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, Jesus tells us that we would be witnesses after the Holy Spirit comes upon us. We'll be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth, right? So he says both in Jerusalem, that would be like our city, our county. Then he says Judea, which would be our state, some neighboring states maybe. Then he says, and in Samaria, countries around us and under the uttermost part of the earth. And so we believe that it's important, we believe as a church, that it is vital that we not only do what we can to reach our community with the gospel, but we believe it's important that we do what we can to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And obviously, we cannot be in two places at one time, and so the method of being able to try to reach other parts of the world is by supporting missionaries who are willing to go and believe that God has called them to go, and so we support them. We support them prayerfully. That's why we were just talking about them. We're wanting you to pray for them this week. We also support them financially. Every month, we send a monthly support to them to try to help them to stay on the field because we want them to be able to reach people with the gospel, right? And so missions, we believe, is a biblical concept. We believe that we are to go. He tells us to go right here in our area, but also throughout the world, right? And again, if you're part of our church here, you understand that we believe that greatly, right? We're heavily involved in missions and sending missionaries around the world, but also even in trying to reach our community with the gospel. And our church supports about 80 missionaries, right? And so how many of you got a piece of paper when you came in? You should have got a piece of paper, right? There's a lot of information on that paper, okay? If you got a paper with a lot of information, you got the wrong paper, all right? The paper you got should be absolutely blank on the front and back. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to do a pop quiz. How many of you like pop quizzes when you were in school, right? I did not like pop quizzes, right? Did not like them, okay? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to set a timer for 2 minutes, right? I'm going to set a timer for 2 minutes, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down as many missionaries that our church supports as you can. As many as you can think of, right? And I actually gave you, I actually was going to do this individually, but I thought, you know what, I'll be kind, And I'll let you tag team, husband and wife, right? Teenagers, if you want to kind of work with somebody next to you, right, in pairs, you can do that as well. But I'm going to give you 2 minutes to write down as many missionaries that you can think of, right? And if you can write down the country that they're in, that's even better, right? You don't have to write down their first names and wife's names and kids' names, but at least write down their last name, or if you can just think of their first name, whatever. I'm going to give you 2 minutes, right? If you're watching via live stream and you're part of our church and you want to do this, go right ahead. But are you ready? You have to stop when I say stop, all right? Go. You got 2 minutes, right? You all should at least get two, right? We just did the missionaries of the week, all right? So you should at least get two. Some of you that may be newer to our church, you're like, boy, I don't know a lot of them. That's all right. That's okay, right? By the way, there's no failing or passing or anything, right? There is a point to this, though, so keep going, right? You've got about 30 seconds has passed. You've still got another minute and a half. Yeah, I'm going to keep talking. Yeah. I'm going to try to confuse you. No, I'm just kidding. Right? All right, keep going. Try to write as many. And you should not be looking at the bulletin. If you're looking at the bulletin to get eight right, that's cheating right there, right? If you're pulling up the website to get the names off the website, that's cheating. This is supposed to be from memory, okay? You're trying to do this. I'm telling you what. You just can't trust anybody, can you, right? Come on, try to remember as many as you can, right? I know it's a short amount of time. It's only 2 minutes. You're like, well, if I had 10, I could think of all of them, you know? You got about 30 seconds left. 30 seconds. I know if you're watching live stream, you're like, I got them all, right? I got them all figured out, right? Yeah. 20 seconds. Some of you, I see you're stumped already. You're like, oh, what is that? They're in that country. What is that name? I can't remember. 10 seconds. All right, stop. Time's up. Time's up. No more writing. Pencils down. Pens down. Whatever. All right? All right, how many of you got at least two? You should have got two, right? Should have got at least the coffees and the bushes, right? Okay. How many got eight because you looked in the bulletin? Okay, all right, a couple of you did, all right. All right, how many got at least 10? Now, I'm not going to go around and check them all, all right? Okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm taking your word for it. You're supposed to be honest as a Christian, right? You got 10? You got 10? All right, that's pretty good. And we got 15. 15. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. You got 15. All right, and you got 20? Oh, the hands are going down. Hands are going down. And you got 25? Oh, everybody just went down. All right, 24? I'm looking in this section right here. 23? Whoa, all right, Mullins, very good. All right, so the Mullins, I don't know what you win, but you're the winners, yay, all right. Now, you were doing that a while ago? Okay, awesome. So here's the thing, right? So we support about 80 missionaries, okay? And again, and I understand this was just 2 minutes, right? But I wonder, of all of those missionaries that you wrote down, right? So you should still have your papers there, right? Of all the missionaries that you wrote down, okay? I want you to look at that paper that you just wrote down on, all the missionaries that you wrote down, from 23 down to 2, right? How many of those have you emailed? Go through, count them. How many of those that you've written down, of those 23 and under, how many of those have you emailed? I'm not saying like this past week. I'm just saying you've emailed them. You've emailed them sometime you're praying for. You got your number yet? You've gone through, counted them yet? All right. Have you at least got two? Right? Two? Okay, good. Five? All right, good. All right. 10? Have you got 10? Raise your hand if you got 10, if you've emailed 10 of them. All right. 15? You got 1, 2. You've emailed 15? 20? You say, what's the point of this? Well, here's my question. Why do we support missionaries? Do we support missionaries just so that we can say we support 80 missionaries? Is that why we support missionaries? I hope that's not the reason why we support them. We just be able to say, hey, you know, we got 80 missionaries. Isn't that awesome? We got 80 missionaries. But we don't know who they are. We don't even communicate with them, let them know we're praying for them or anything. So what really is the point in supporting them then? Well, we send them money financially. Well, that's good. But how many of you have been here when one of our missionaries have been here and you've heard them say, whether you support us financially or not, that's not important. What is important is your what?
Prayers.
Your prayers. Your prayer support. That's what we need more than anything else. Right? You see, missions is not just about the going, although that is part of it, right? But the missions, our missions is also about supporting those who are going, right? And this is one of the reasons why I believe, right, that we should actually, you know, because there's two ways that you can look at this. You can look at it and say, well, we want to support as many missionaries as we can, right? And so we're going to take on as many missionaries as we can, and we're going to support them for $50 a month, right? But we've got 150 missionaries that we support. Okay, why? Why? Just to be able to say we've got 150 missionaries, right? If we have 80 and we don't really know many of them, and we don't communicate with many of them, what's the point of having 150? Now, please understand, I'm not saying you have to. Look, if I would have done that, I don't know that I would be able to list every single missionary that we have, right? I would say I could probably get close, but I'm kind of dealing with missionaries all the time, right? But our purpose shouldn't just be to say, oh, look at all of these missionaries we support, right? But if all it is just a number, it's just the financial aspect, we're sending $50 a month to 150 missionaries, but we're not praying for them, we're not communicating with them, can I say that we're actually failing in our missions department, right? And this is why there are two philosophies, to say, hey, we can support a bunch of missionaries for a little amount, or we can support fewer missionaries for larger amounts and actually know who those missionaries are. I am of the mindset, right? My philosophy is that it's better to support fewer missionaries with a larger amount, but really communicate and know those missionaries, right? I mean, you know who they are, you're following them, you know, maybe it's on Facebook or you're getting their prayer letters or whatever it is. But I mean, really, and again, I understand, you know, even with 80 missionaries, right? It's hard to keep up with 80 missionaries. It's hard to do that. But it's so important, right? And again, this is why you should be reading their prayer letters. You should be communicating with the missionaries, right? Because you need to know what they're doing, right? You should be involved in what's happening with our missionaries, okay? Now, again, we support about 80 missionaries, and we support them for a little bit more. We support most of them for $100 a month. We just, back in January, February, whenever it was, we're working on trying to raise even some of those missionaries. But what are we really trying to accomplish? What are we trying to accomplish in our missions program? I think the best thing for us to do is to be able to know the missionaries that we support, to know who they are, to communicate with them, right? I remember my wife and I were, when we were on a furlough one time, we were in a church, we were in the hallway, they had all the missionary letters and pictures on the wall and everything, and we were standing, literally, we were standing right in front of our name, our picture, our prayer letter was literally right there. And we're, my wife and I are standing here. A family, you know, that had been in the church since the time we were there before came up to us. They said, "Oh, it's so great to see you, you know. Oh, you're a missionary. Oh, are you just on deputation?" Is this? They had no idea who we were. We're right here. Our picture's even right here. Our prayer letter's right there. They had no clue who we were. You know what that told me? That church wasn't praying for us. We weren't important to them to pray for. Oh, did they send us financial aspects? Yeah, they sent monthly. But that was probably about it. Nobody knew who we were. And as a church that is supporting missions, we ought to want to know who our missionaries are, right? And why we support these missionaries, okay? Again, you, as a church, you sacrificially give to support these missionaries. I know many of you, you sacrifice to give for our missions program, our Faith Promise. And we want to make sure that the missionaries that we support align with our beliefs, align with our doctrine. They're doing what we would want missionaries to do, right? And this is one of the reasons why you should be reading their prayer letters. You should be following up with them. You should be checking out, because you should be watching to say, "Hey, you know what? This missionary here, there's just something that's not right. There's something that there's just not right about. They don't talk about anybody getting saved. They don't talk about anybody being discipled. They don't talk about anything like this. What really are they doing?" Can I say, you know whose job that is to be checking and making sure our missionaries are doing the work that they're supposed to be doing? That's the church's job, right? That's your job, right? I mean, if we're giving money to something, don't we want to follow up and make sure that that money's being used wisely? That money's being used for what God wants, right? And so, yes, we can say, "Well, you vetted them and you had them come in and things," and that's true, but look, if somebody's not on the field, we don't know what they're going to do yet. We hope that they're going to do well. We hope that they're going to do right. But you know, we've had to drop numerous missionaries. We've had to stop supporting numerous missionaries. Very, very different reasons, right? Some come off the field or whatever, but there's been even some that were on the field that we've had to say, "You know what? They're just, something's not right here. They're not reaching people with the gospel. They're not starting churches. They're not discipling anybody. It just kind of seems like they're just kind of having a 4-year vacation in a foreign country at the expense of the churches." And we've had to say, "You know what? That's not what we want. We want to make sure that the missionaries that we're supporting are doing the work of a missionary, right?" So I want you to interact with me again. I'd rather, you know, either teenagers or adults. I know little kids could probably chime in on some of these things as well. But really, let's think about this. What are some things that we think or that we would want our missionaries to be doing? What are some things, obviously, when we think about who we should support, right? What is a mission? What missionary should we support? If a missionary comes in, what should we be looking for in a missionary to support them? What should we be looking for? Miss Amy. Are they going to be training a national to take over, right? Is there a plan? Is there something in place to train nationals to take over, right? Should a missionary go to the field and just basically become a pastor of a church? Is that what a missionary is supposed to do? Do they just go and just become the pastor of the church and they're just the pastor there for years and years and years? No, that's not the purpose, right? The purpose of a missionary is to go and to train a national to take over, right? Where do you find that? Well, look at the life of the Apostle Paul. When he would go to different places, he would go and he would see people saved, and then he would disciple them, he would train them, and then what would he do? He would ordain elders in that area, he'd see a pastor get started, and then he would go on to start another work, right? So training national pastors or training nationals. What else is something that we should be looking for in a missionary that's going to be coming? What else is something we should be looking for, right? I know the kids get a lot of God things, but I'm going to look for the adults here. The adults are the ones that are sacrificing, right? I know some of you kids give for missions as well. What else should we be looking for? Is that it? Just training nationals? Jay? Yeah. What kind of outreach are they doing? Are they doing any type of outreach, right? You know, there's all kinds of outreaches that people can do, right? I mean, obviously you can just do, you know, giving out gospel tracts. You can go into schools, you can go into prisons, there's all kinds of things. Are they involved in outreach? Are they involved in trying to reach people with the gospel, right? I saw another hand over here. Brian? Okay, are they planting churches, right? Training the nationals and planting churches, right? There was another hand, I thought. What? Right doctrine. What's their doctrine, right? Right? A lot of times, and by the way, that's one of the reasons why when we have a missionary come in, there's two things that we've checked on them. One, what is their sending church? What's their sending church, right? Because their sending church is going to tell us a lot of what doctrine they have, right? So does their sending church align with our doctrine, right? And then the second thing is, does their mission board, if they're with a mission board, does their mission board align with our doctrine? Right? With what we believe, the Bible. If their sending church and their mission board don't align with our doctrine, what we believe, we're probably not going to have them in, right? So we want to make sure that they have the right doctrine. Yeah. You're going to say doctrine too, all right? All right, somebody else? Yeah, Truman? Okay, are they sharing the gospel personally? Not just having outreaches where everybody's going out, but are they personally seeing people come to know the Lord as their Savior, right? Are they personally evangelizing, okay? Ms. Terry? Right. If they're going to a country where it's a different language, are they actually going to learn the language? Again, a lot of times we don't understand how important that is, but learning the language helps you to understand culture, helps you understand so much about the country that you're in. So if they're in a country where English is not the main language, are they going to learn the language? And I know that takes time, but I would rather them spend a year or two learning the language, because they're going to have a much greater ministry down the road than just getting there and be like, oh, we're just going to start, and they never take time to learn the language, right? Very good. All right. Somebody else? Yeah. Are they discipling, right? Are they discipling people? Are they helping people to grow in their faith, right? So these are many things that we should be looking, saying, hey, if a missionary is going to go to the field, right? Let's just say Levi comes into our church and he's a new missionary. And we should, you know what? You should be asking him, what are his plans in some of these things? What is your plan about discipling somebody? Do you have a discipleship program? What's your plan in starting a church? What's your plan in training a national, right? Those are questions that you should be asking, right? Finding out what are their plans on some of these things, right? And then as they are on the field, as we're following up on the prayer letters that they send and emails and stuff like that, are they fulfilling those things? Now, again, please understand, I know that every country is different, right? If Landon was to go to China as a missionary, it's going to be much harder than somebody maybe going to Mexico, right? It's going to be harder, right? It's not going to be as easy to reach people in China as it is people in Mexico. They're in Mexico, they're much more receptive to the gospel. So you know what? If Landon is going to China and Matthew's going to Mexico, I'm probably going to read about more people getting saved in Mexico than I am with Landon in China, right? But that doesn't mean Landon's not doing a good job. As long as we're still following up and he's still trying to do outreach and maybe, you know, maybe every couple of months, maybe once every 6 months, or maybe it's just a couple times a year, Landon sees someone get saved there in China. But boy, Matthew, he's seeing 100 people a year get saved in China. So let's drop Landon. No, not at all. No, you have to understand, some countries are just harder than other countries to reach people with the gospel, right? And we understand that, right? So again, the numbers, it's not about how many people are getting saved, no, but are they both working to fulfill the job that they're supposed to be doing on the mission field, right? So are they both doing those things, all right? So let's go through some of these things. And again, this is just basically what we do. First of all, we find out if they're sent out from a church of like faith. Does that church believe the same way that we believe, right? If they're in an English-speaking country, obviously we want them to use the authorized version or the King James Version, right, in the English-speaking country. Now, obviously, in countries that don't speak English, we don't expect that. In fact, a lot of countries, if they don't have an English-speaking population, many of them may not even have portions of Scripture in their language, right? So they're just going to have to use whatever they have. I remember many times preaching, and we didn't have a good translation of the Bible in Luganda and Lugishu and Swahili where we were at. And so many times as they would be trying to read through the translation that we had, I would read a verse, and they would look at it, and they're like, that's not what this verse says. It doesn't say that. And so they would just literally translate for us, right? But we want to make sure they're using, obviously, a right Bible. One of the things that we do ask is what mission board that they are with, right? Now, why is it important that a missionary is with a mission board? Again, there's nowhere in the Bible that says a missionary has to be with a mission board. Personally, I think it's wise for a missionary to be with a mission board. But why would it be important for a missionary to be with a mission board, right? Now, again, there are missionaries that are just sent out of their local church. And again, I'm not faulting them or anything like that. There are missionaries that are sent out of what is called a clearinghouse, right? Anybody know what a clearinghouse is? Right? A clearinghouse is just basically a place that the money gets sent to, and then they collect the money for the missionary, and then they send it on to the missionary, right? It's just kind of like it's not a bank, but it's just kind of where the money goes and it sends on, right? But a mission board is a little bit different, right? A mission board is a board that is made up of different directors and things like this. Most of the directors have been missionaries before or are current missionaries, right? The money does go there and things. But why is it important for a missionary to be out of a mission board? Now, again, they're out of their local church, but then there's also the mission board aspect. Why is a mission board important? What do you think? Thatcher? All right. Accountability, right? What type of accountability? I mean, obviously, if they're sent out of a local church, aren't they accountable to the local church? They would be accountable to the local church. That's true, right? But why is there accountability from the mission board as well? And please understand, the mission board doesn't take the place of the local church, right? They're still sent out of the local church, and the local church has the final authority on the missionary, not the mission board, okay? But why is this so important about accountability? Ms. Patty? Okay. Yeah. A mission board has more resources than a local church. For example, a lot of mission boards, they carry different types of insurance and things like this. And if a health issue and that missionary needs, you know, $200,000 to get medevaced and things like that, it'd be a little bit hard for a church to come up with that right away. Where a mission board has that capability to do that, that's a good point. What would be another good point about why a missionary should be at the mission board, right? Brother Jake? Yeah, and kind of going along with what Brother Jake is saying, that the directors and people from the mission board are going to the field and they're checking up on the missionary and things like this. One of the things, again, and I mentioned that that's so important is most pastors, most churches that send out a missionary, all right? Again, let's say that we send out Luke as a missionary. Most pastors and most churches have never been to the mission field before, right? So Luke gets to India as a missionary, and Luke experiences something called culture shock. And Luke calls back to his pastor and says, "Boy, I just don't understand," and this and that. And the pastor says, "I don't know what you're talking about, man." Why? Because the pastor's never experienced culture shock before. He's never lived in a foreign country. And so Luke is able to call his director at the mission board, who has been a missionary before, who's experienced culture shock, and says, hey, this is what I'm going through. And the mission board director says, I know exactly what you're going through, Luke. Here's what you need to do. Hold on. It's going to get better. You keep going. You're going to learn the language. This is what's going to happen, right? And he's able to help Luke get through that time because he's been there before, right? And so a mission board is important because most of the directors and people that are on the mission board have been missionaries before, and they know what that missionary is going through to be able to help counsel them when things are getting discouraging. Maybe they're thinking about quitting because maybe like Landon's been in China and he's not seeing people get saved. And so he contacts his mission board director and he says, hey, nobody's getting saved. I feel like quitting. I feel like going home. And his director's able to say, hey, you know what? I went through the same thing. It was 5 years before I saw somebody come to know Jesus as their Savior. So Landon, you just keep being faithful. You just keep going. We're going to come visit you. We're going to encourage you. And so it's important even for them to be part of a mission board because there is going to be that accountability in helping them do that, right? Now, what should be the main emphasis on missions? What is the main job that we would say of a missionary? What is the main job of a missionary? What's their main goal in going to a country? What's their main goal, Jay? Okay, bringing people to Christ. How many of you say that's the main goal of a missionary, bringing people to Christ? All right, a few of you. How many say that's not the main goal of bringing people to Christ? How many, that's not the, you're like, Pastor, are you saying it's not good to bring people to Christ? I didn't say that, right? Don't put words in my mouth, right? Now, it is important to bring people to Christ, but can I say that that's not the main goal of a missionary? It's not the main goal. You know, you can go and drill wells and bring people to Christ. You can go and start an orphanage and bring people to Christ, right? But that's not really a missionary. What's the main goal? And again, no matter what we do, obviously our main goal is to bring people to Christ. I'm not trying to dog what Brother Jay said, right? That is the main thing. But as a missionary, what is the main goal that they're going there to do? Brother Jake? To plant a church. Their main goal is to plant churches, right? Why? Because it's not just about going and seeing people get saved, but it's about discipling them. It's about helping them grow and leaving something behind so that as they go somewhere else, right? It's about planting a church. Again, what did Paul do in all the different towns that he went into? It wasn't just about seeing people get saved. No. Yes, we want to see people get saved. You can't start a church without people getting saved, okay? But the main purpose was to leave a church behind. The main purpose is to have people trained in that church there so that when you leave as a missionary, guess what's going to happen? They're going to keep on going. They're going to keep on reaching people with the gospel. That church is going to keep on going, right? Some of you that went on the trip to Uganda last year, you got to meet Pastor John. And Pastor John is the man that we trained in Mbale. And man, Pastor John is just, he's just an amazing guy. God has just really blessed him. And we trained him, and he became the pastor of the church there, right? Because we didn't know what God was going to do. But what happened in 2012, God brought us back here. And what happened with that church, it's still going on today. Pastor John is still leading that church, and people are still getting saved, and ministries are still going through that church, right? And so the main emphasis of a missionary is to be a church planter, right? So again, with our missions money, we want to make sure that the majority of our missions money is going to church planting. Now again, we're not against other things, right? Please don't get me wrong with that. We're not against orphanages. We're not against, guys that are directors of mission boards and things like that. But we want to make sure that the majority of our money is going to that main purpose of church planting. And so we've kind of figured out, we take about 80% of our missions fund and 80% goes to church planting missionaries. Now, again, we know that there are good ministries that help missionaries. And so we figure we'll take about 20% of that to help missionaries, whether that is through supporting somebody that is going to, you know, like a radio station, whether that's single missionaries. You know, single missionaries don't start churches, right? Single missionary ladies, they don't start churches. Does that mean we shouldn't support them? No, they're going to be a help to the ministry, right? They're going to be a help in that ministry, working with a missionary, and so. But they're not going to start a church, right? So the majority, the main emphasis of our missions funds are going to go to those that are starting churches. There could be others that are working with health, doctors, mission board directors, camps, orphanages, single lady missionaries, radio stations, all those type of things. But we want to make sure that the majority of what we're doing with our missions funds is church planting, right? And so we figured that out. About 80% goes to church planting, about 20% goes to others, right? In this idea of church planting, right? If somebody is planting a church in the U.S., right, or in their home country, right, are we going to support them like another missionary? If somebody's starting a church in the U.S., let's just take Brother Sakelly. Brother Sakelly was here a couple years ago. He's starting a church out in Camas, Washington. Are we going to support Brother Kelly, Sakelly, the same way that we would support another missionary? In other words, basically, when we take a missionary on, we say, hey, brother, you know, unless you fall into sin or go doctrinally wrong, we're going to keep supporting your ministry, right? Is that what we would do with a church planner? No, not at all. You see, there's a difference between a church planner and a missionary. You say, aren't they both planting churches? Yes, they are. They're both planting churches. But what's the difference? Somebody want to tell me what the difference is? What's the difference from a church planner in their own country and a missionary? Miss Rachel? Exactly. A church planter like Brother Kelly is planting that church in Camas, Washington. He's not going out there to start that church and then go and start another church. He's going out to start that church and eventually remain as the pastor of that church, right? And so what we do with a guy like Brother Kelly or a missionary like that, we will say, hey, we're going to support you for a certain number of years, right? We'll support you for 3 to 5 years as that church is getting started. And then we come back and we look and say, hey, is that church, because what they should be doing is teaching that church to do what? It should be growing, but they should be teaching the church to do what? Support the pastor, right? They should be tithing and things like that. So in 3 to 5 years, we look and say, hey, is that church now able to financially support that man, right? If they are, then great. We can say, all right, we'll stop support, and maybe we'll look to try to find another church planner. If we look at them, we say, hey, they're really working, but they're in a hard area. Camas, Washington, that's just right on the outskirts. I believe it's Seattle? Is it Portland? Portland. Yeah. That's going to be a tough area, right? And so, you know, if after 3 to 5 years, they say, hey, we could use support for another 2 years. And then we can make that decision as a church, right? But that's the difference between a missionary. A missionary is going to start a church to turn it over to a national, to start another church to turn it over to a national, right? I remember when we started looking through some of the missionaries that we had. And again, at one point, our church supported, and some of you guys might correct me if I'm wrong, but it was almost 120 missionaries at one point. And as we started looking through some of them, we found like there were some guys that were actually pastoring in America. They had left the field or whatever, and they were pastoring now in America and still taking missions funds. I thought, boy, that's not right. They had a church, and that church was supporting them. And so, you know, we stopped supporting them, right? But that's the difference between a church planter in their own country and a missionary going. And some people say, well, why don't missionaries just get a job? You know, if they're going to go to a foreign field, just get a job. Well, it sounds nice. Yeah, just get a job, right? Anybody want to tell me why that doesn't work? Brother Jeff? In most countries, you're not allowed to get a job, right? If you're there as a missionary, you're there as a nonprofit, you're there as trying to reach people, you're not allowed to get a job. Right? It's illegal for you to get a job. If you get a job, you fall under a completely different category, right? And that's a whole nother thing, right? And so missionaries, they're not able to get a job, right? And so that's why they have to be supported from churches like us here in the United States, right? So what are some things that a missionary should be doing? We kind of already went through this, right? They should be soul winning. They should be discipling. They should be baptizing. They should be starting a church. They should be training nationals to take over those various ministries. Training a national to become a pastor, right? Again, we find all of this. You can go to Mark 16, 15, and Acts chapter 1, and Acts chapter 13, and Acts chapter 16. All of this we find throughout Scripture, what is being done. And again, the purpose of a missionary going, they're trying to start what we call an indigenous church, right? Indigenous. In other words, the word indigenous simply means that the church they're starting is going to be self-supporting. In other words, they support themselves. It's self-governing. In other words, the church operates as a church, and they're self-propagating. In other words, they are working to reach people with the gospel as well, right? They are their own local church, right? That's the goal. We're trying to establish churches, right? We believe that God's plan to reach the world is through the local church, right? And so that's what missionaries are trying to do. They're trying to start these indigenous churches and turn them over to the nationals so that they can go on. And by the way, the nationals, you'll find out, can do a whole lot better job than you and I can, right? Because it's not your culture, it's not your language, right? It's their culture, it's their language. They know their people a whole lot better than we do. And you can learn it, but not like they do, right? They know it, and that's why they do such a much better job at it, right? So let's very quickly look at some practical application here as we're kind of winding down here. So if the final goal is to plant a church, right, then it would be reasonable that we would like a missionary who will be planting churches with the same doctrine and philosophy that we have here at our church. As those missionaries we find in the Bible, when they, after they went on their missionary journeys, they would come back, they would report to the churches of what God had done. We encourage missionaries to come back and give a report. Some of our missionaries have come back and have given a report of what the Lord has done in the ministry. Now, we don't make them come back every time they're back in the States, right? But we do want them to come back if they're able to. Here's the one thing that I have found, right? If we're following up with the missionary and we're seeing what they're doing, and sometimes we get videos like this of missionary, here's what's going on in our country. You know what? We find that most of those missionaries, when they're back in the States, they're willing to come and give a report. But many of them, we say, look, you don't need to come. You know why? We know what's going on. Because we're keeping up with you, right? We're following up with you. You're sending us videos. We're following your prayer letters and things like that. Now, if you're in the area and you're able to come, great. We would love to have you, right? But it's usually many times missionaries that we don't hear a lot from that we ask to come back because we're like, we don't know what's going on, right? We're not really sure. And sometimes a missionary shows up and like, oh, we're here to give a report. And you're like, we support you? I didn't know that. I didn't know. And again, that's partly our fault. In fact, what we're going to be doing, hopefully by next Sunday, we're going to have a kind of like a pamphlet, whatever you want to call it, of all the missionaries we support, what country that they're in, the husband, wife, their children's names, their email address, broken up by continent, so that way you can see the missionaries we support, where they're at. And on the front of it, there are ways that you can pray for your missionary, right? There's specific things that you can pray for your missionary about, right? Why? Because we need to be praying for them, right? Not just about sending money. It's not just about every month, oh, here's my faith promise, here's my missions. Well, that's important, but what about really praying for them? What about really trying to follow up with them, right? And we're going to try to come up with some ways that families can be able to do that, right? And so again, we want them to be able to report if they're able to. Now, of course, there are times when we do have to end support for missionaries, right? Obviously, if a husband dies on the mission field and the widow chooses to come back off the field, they choose to come back to America, we support her for about a year just to try to help her get reestablished in America. If a husband dies and the widow decides to remain on the field as a single missionary lady, we continue supporting her as well. Mrs. Sloan is a good example of that. Mrs. Billy Sloan, her and her husband were missionaries. Her husband died, and we have continued supporting her. And she just does an amazing job. She's an amazing lady. And so we have a couple missionaries like that. We had one, Mrs. Hayes, her husband. They were in the Philippines. Her husband died. She stayed there in the Philippines, and we kept supporting her until her health got so bad that she ended up, I think about 2 years ago, she had to come back to the States and was not able to return. And so we ended up supporting her for about another year until she could kind of get settled back into the States and things, right? Obviously, if there's an accusation of sin that is brought against the missionary, then of course, you know, we'll check into that. I as the pastor, and we'll consult with the missionary. We'll talk to the sending church, the mission board, to see if it's true. If it is true, if there is sin, then obviously we would have to discontinue support. You know, if there's a change in doctrine or philosophy, again, the same thing. We would check into it. If it's not something that is what we would consider extreme, right? You know, maybe they just started using a different music preference or something like that or whatever. You know, it's nothing, they're not doctrinally, they still believe in salvation, things like that. One of the things that we try to do is we try never to drop a missionary while they're on the mission field, right? Anybody want to know why we would that's probably a good thing to do, not to drop a missionary while they're on the field? Why is that a good thing to do? Aaron? Okay, so they don't get pulled from the mission field, all right? Somebody else? Why? Yeah. Right, it puts them in a bad situation, right, in a country. They can't just go to a church and try to raise that support if they're on the field, right? And so we try not to drop a missionary until they're actually back on a furlough or something, right? Once they're on the furlough, then we'll tell them, hey, we're gonna stop your support or whatever. But to drop them on the field, that's, again, if it's a sin or something like that and it's needed, we would. But we try as much as possible not to drop a missionary while they're on the field, because they just can't go and try to raise that support. They're in a foreign country. While they're in the States, we let them know they can try to get other churches to support them, whatever. And again, we're not saying that missionaries that we drop, we're not saying that they're necessarily bad people. They just may not align with the area, the direction that we're going in our missions philosophy, in our missions department and things, all right? Again, we try to give them the benefit of the doubt and things. And that's why we check and we find out, you know, hey, we've been supporting a missionary for 30 years, right? 30 years we've been supporting this missionary. This is just an example, by the way. We've been supporting this missionary for 30 years. Since 1995, we've been supporting them. And we start going back. They've never started a church. We've been supporting them for 30. I said it's an example. Some of you are like, what? We do? No, it's an example, right? We've been supporting this guy since 1995, and we start going back. There's no church. Hasn't started a church, right? Really doesn't even have a group of believers or anything like that. What's he doing? What are they doing? Why are we supporting them, right? Again, if our desire is we want to see churches being planted and things like that, again, I'm not against somebody working in a school, right? But that's not our goal. It's not that we're just trying to get people working in school. No, we want them to see people saved. We want churches to be started. You know, if all we're getting in their prayer letters is, you know, my kids did this and we went here and saw this. In fact, when there was a missionary that we had to let go, it seemed like every prayer letter was about one of their animals. It was. And like every prayer letter was about, you know, the dog, the turtle. You know, I'm like, you know, I love you, brother, but that's not what we're supporting missionaries for, you know. If that's what you have to put in your prayer letter, something's not right with what's going on in the ministry, right? And we did. When the missionary came back on furlough, we told him, hey, we're going to have to let you go. You know, again, we're not against you. I'm glad you're a missionary, but that's not where our direction is going with our missions, right? And it's not like we have unlimited missions money either, right? I know we sacrifice, many of you sacrifice to give. And so we want to make sure that we are being good stewards with our missions money and supporting missionaries that align with what we're trying to do, in our missions department, right? Before we end here, and I'm just going to kind of leave this to the adults, would there be an adult that would have a question about anything that we're doing, where we've just talked about with our missions department? Yeah, Brother BJ.
With the finances, I have several questions related to that. So sometimes physical designation is saved, or 50% supported.
Yeah.
Who decides that amount? And then,
yeah, great question.
As
Right, yes. And Brother BJ just made two very good points for mission boards. Two very good points. Because he asked, who sets how much a missionary has to raise a month? And what do they do about like retirement and things like that, right? And if you're with a mission board, because again, you have missionaries that are directors now that lived in those countries, they know what it costs to live. So if a missionary comes in and he says, I'm going to South America, let's just say he says, I'm going to Argentina. The mission board that he is with has missionaries that have been there, directors have been there, and they said, okay, and again, I'm just estimating here. They said, what you're going to need to live in Argentina is $5,000 a month, right? Now, that $5,000 is not all just personal expense, right? That $5,000 could be rent for a house. It's going to be to buy food and things, but it's also going to be, they're also including ministry expenses as well, right? Because you're going to need a place to rent for a building. You're going to have to buy Bibles. You're going to have to buy some other things. So they're including some of that as well. So if they come in and say, we're at 50% of our support, what they're saying is our mission board has said, this is what the amount that we need. And so that's the level we're at. We're at 50% of that, right? So they're trying to raise that full amount. And most mission boards won't let a missionary go to the field until they've got 100%, right? Because they want to make sure that when they get there, they're not struggling financially, right? So a mission board will help that. Where again, many times, if somebody is just sent out of their church or a clearinghouse, there's nobody really there to tell them. And so a lot of them actually get to the field under-supported. And they struggle financially because they didn't raise enough support in while they were on deputation, right? With the mission board as well, a mission board also, and again, most of them, the ones that I'm familiar with, there could be some that may not do this, but most of the mission boards that I'm familiar with, they require their missionaries to put into retirement, whether it's Social Security or if a pastor or a missionary has opted out of Social Security or whatever, they require them to put money into retirement because they know eventually the missionary is not going to be on the field and they don't want it to be the burden of the church to say, oh, well, they were on the field for 40 years, but they never put anything into retirement, and so now they need all the churches to keep supporting them till they die, right? So most mission boards require missionaries to put every month into retirement so that when they do come off the field and retire, they are set just like any other American that's putting into like a 401k or something like that. It's a little bit different. It's not like a 401k, but they do require them to do that so that that happens. And again, that's again another two good reasons why a mission board is important for missionaries. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great question. Yeah, Brother Jake. Yes. Sure. That's great. So when we send missionaries out of our church, first of all, they are our missionaries. Now, the ones we support, these 80 we support, we would say they're our missionaries, but they're not from First Baptist Church, right? So when a missionary, let's say Levi says, hey, I'm going to the mission field. Levi is going to be a missionary sent out of our church, right? So we're going to do more for him than we are these other missionaries from other churches, right? So we're going to support him more. We're going to take care of him more because he's our missionary sent out of our church, right? Yes, we would support them more. We would do more for them as well. But then it's basically up to him, right? So if you've got Levi and you've got Luke and you've got Landon, they're all going to be missionaries out of the church. And Levi says, hey, I really like BIMI. And Luke says, you know, hey, I really like Macedonia missions. And Landon says, I really like Timbuktu missions, whatever. I don't know. It's really up to the missionary which mission board they go with. Obviously, we would, you know, tell them, hey, we feel like these are some good mission boards that you can go with, because there are some that, again, there's not a lot of accountability, right? And we want there to be good accountability. Now, especially for our church, right, I feel like, again, maybe I'm just a little bit prejudiced, but I feel like our church would be a little bit different, right, just because You know, as a missionary, my dad's been a missionary. Many of you have been on a mission field before on one of our mission trips. And these are our guys. We're gonna be checking up on them, right? We're going to be making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, right? Just because they're out of our church doesn't mean we're just giving them a free pass. We're probably going to be like, what are you? How many people have you talked to this week, Luke? I mean, have you not talked to anybody about the Lord this week? Get out there and do something, Luke, right? We're going to be really, because they're ours, right? So we'll definitely be following up on them more. But it would be up to each of the ones to determine what mission board they want to go with or whatever. Yeah. Miss Amy? Mm-hmm. Yes, the mission board does try to do that. But again, a lot of times when you have a mission board, if you have a director over, let's say, the continent of Africa. If you have, again, kind of similar situation, if you have 40 missionaries in Africa, it's hard to really keep track of everything that they're doing. Now, you're trying to keep in contact with them, you're phone having a phone conversation or whatever, but it is a little bit harder when you have that many for one director. So again, that's why it is still important for us as a church to keep up with what they're doing. But I know some good mission boards that they do stay on top of their missionaries, and if their missionaries aren't, they're on them. You know, say, hey, you're supposed to be doing this. And again, that's one of the, again, the good things about a mission board as well. Yeah. Thatcher? Yes. Yep, so the money goes to the mission board, and Miss Bev could correct me on this. I think, is BIMI probably the largest one that we send to? We probably have, 12 or 13 missionaries with BIMI that we support. And so she'll send one check to BIMI for all of the money for those missionaries, and it's broken down in that check. Miss Bev, would you like to tell us how many checks you send out every month? 44 different checks she has to send out to all of our missionaries. Because they're not all with the same mission board, right? So some are with mission boards, some are with clearing houses, some are just out of the church or whatever. So every month she's sending out 44 different checks, right, to all these. Some it's just one person, right? Some with like BIMI, it might be 12, 13, 14. Vision, we've got a couple with them. So the more missionaries that are with one mission board, the better it is for Miss Bev, that's for sure. Right? Right? But yeah, so it's sent to the mission board. The mission board collects the money. And then throughout the month, and then once a month, we'll send a deposit to the missionary on the field, wherever they're at, like a wire transfer or something. No, we don't support mission boards. No. We'll support the directors. We support some of the directors of the mission board, but the mission board itself, we don't support. Yeah. Miss Patty? You mean like, can they own land or something in the country? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No. That usually has to go through like what is called an NGO. They have to set up like an NGO in the country. So like in Uganda, we had what was called Baptist International Missions of Uganda. So any property or anything that was bought was in the NGO's name. It could not be in the missionary's name. That NGO has to be set up with the government. The government has to approve it, right? And every year the government's keeping track of what's going on. But one of the things that we've even tried to do is try to even get out of the NGO and give it, make sure it's in the local church as well. So like the property and everything there in Imbali, it's all under the local church there in Imbali now. They actually have to, and every country's different, but even in Uganda, even like our church had to start like their own little NGO to be able to have the property and everything in the church's name. So it's not in an individual's name.
And will you allow an individual
person to maintain like your property here in Ohio? A missionary can still have a house in the States or something like that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're just not, in most countries, you're not, unless you're a citizen of that country, you're not allowed to own anything as far as property-wise. You can buy a vehicle, but you're not allowed to own property. It has to be in like an NGO-type name or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, very good. Brother Jay, real quick. Yeah. Yeah. There are some different ways. Some will go in with a specific trade. Like when we were thinking about going into a country that missionaries weren't really allowed to go into, I was going to go in as an English teacher. I have a certificate in teaching English as a second language. So I was going to go in as an English teacher, right? Some can go in different avenues like that, right? But even, you know, even when they're in the country, right, if you're in a closed country, you're not going to own basically anything. You're going to rent, right? You're going to rent a building. You know, you're not going to own it, because if you own something and they see what you're doing, you're immediately going to be kicked out. So most of it's just going to be renting facilities and things like that. And like some of our missionaries in some of the closed countries, about almost every year they have to move locations because they're trying to stay ahead of the government and things. And so, you know, you can be there, you can have vehicles, you know, things like that. But you're trying to stay under the radar and things with what you're doing. So there's different ways to get into some of them. You want to be as legit as possible, but under the radar as possible. Yeah. Yeah, Miss Leah? Yes. Right. Yeah, so there was actually a university that I was going to offer my services to free of charge, right? And of course, who doesn't want somebody working for free, right? So that's what we were going to do. We would go in free of charge, offer them. Now, some countries, if they're looking for English teachers, they may actually pay you to come and be an English teacher. And if they do that, then you're not going in as a missionary. You're going in as that teacher, and they're actually paying you. And you can still kind of do mission work on the down low. But again, if you get caught, you have the possibility of losing that job and being kicked out of the country or whatever. But that is a way to get in as well if they're looking for English teachers or whatever it might be like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I really wanted to take tonight and really help you to understand what is the purpose of our missionaries. And that's why I would much rather support fewer missionaries with a larger amounts. And that's why I'm so glad that this past month or so, we were able to start raising, we're trying to raise up all of our missionaries, get them up to $150 now. And again, you have no idea how many missionaries never, ever get any type of increase in support. Never. Don't get it, right? Did I tell you that when I sent out the emails to the missionaries, one of the missionaries that we were increased was Brother Walter Stevens, and I sent him the email, and he said, "Brother," he said, "God is just so good." He said, "Just last week, a church just dropped us. They stopped our support. They said they were having some financial problems, and they couldn't support us anymore, and so he said, God's timing is always perfect, and you guys came in and increased our support." It's rare. Most churches do not increase missionary support. It's all about, let's have 150 missionaries. Well, you support them for $30, $50, and your church doesn't even know who the missionaries are. I would rather us as a church know our missionaries, pray for them, communicate with them, love them, and really stand behind them and support them than have tons of missionaries. We give them a little bit, and we don't even know who they are. And so when we give the paper out next week, I hope you'll take that. Keep it in your Bible. Keep it somewhere where you can pray for them. Obviously, that many missionaries, you're not going to pray for all of them every day. But maybe you could take a continent a day. I think we do have seven because we kind of considered Oceania an area, so there might be seven. But you could take one a day. Obviously, you'll see we have more missionaries in some continents than others. But you could take those, pray for them. Contact them, communicate with them, right? And I guarantee you, man, those missionaries will appreciate it so much that there's a church that loves them, a church that communicates with them, not just sends them money, but actually prays for them and communicates with them and lets them. I've actually had so many missionaries. How many of you get the newsletter every month? I hope you get the newsletter. If you don't, you can jump online. You can get the newsletter that we send out every month. It talks about some of the things we've got coming up and things. I don't know how many missionaries said, we love getting your newsletter. Because the churches that support us, we don't know what's going on in those churches. And so we get your newsletter, and we just love hearing what's going on in your church. We just enjoy seeing what's taking place. We can't wait to come and see the new building, you know? I've had missionaries tell us that. We can't wait to get there and come see the new building because they've been following us in our newsletter and seeing what's going on. And so, you know, pray for them. Again, you can go online on our website. There's a missions page there. It is password protected. Because we do have some missionaries in some closed countries. If you need the password, we can get that to you. But go on there. Prayer letters are on there. Pictures are on there. Email addresses are on there. And again, we'll try to get that to you as well in that bulletin form. It won't have the pictures, but it'll have the names, the countries, the email addresses, their kids as well. But really pray for our missionaries. Really stand behind them, support them. When we have the missionaries of the week, don't just be like, oh, it's the missionaries of the week, right? And again, I know we didn't, you know, if I would have given you a longer time, you probably would come up with a lot more. But of all of those missionaries that were written down, right, you know, and I think the most was 23 there, not even 15 were being prayed for or communicated with, right? So let's work a little bit harder at communicating with them. Let's work a little bit harder. It doesn't take long to send an email. It doesn't take long at all, right? In fact, if you go to the website, you can just click it, and it'll open up in an email for you. You don't even have to type in the email address. I mean, we're trying to make it as simple as possible for you, all right? Or you can try to type it in. Sometimes it might be a wrong email address. It might come back. Just let us know, and we'll try to get that corrected. But we try to keep that up to date as much as possible. But we want you to love missionaries. We want the missionaries that come in. And that's why we try to vet. We try to get missionaries that are coming in that we feel are going to do the job. Doesn't mean it always happens. But we feel like trying to bring in missionaries are going to do the job, that we can stand behind, support, encourage, and help to reach the world for Christ. And so that's what our missions desire is. That's what we want to do with our faith promise, with our missions, and praise God, one day we'll be sending missionaries out of First Baptist Church as well. All right, let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for, Lord, your love for us. And God, I thank you that we have a part in being able to support missionaries. Lord, I pray you to help us to do better in communicating and praying for them. Lord, that they would know that there's a church here in Eaton, Ohio that loves missionaries and wants to stand behind them. And so, Father, I pray that you would just help us, Lord, in this. Thank you for the missionaries that we have. Watch over them, protect them, and just keep them safe, Lord. Provide for them. And Lord, one day as we have our own missionaries being sent out, I pray that you would do a great work through the missions of First Baptist Church. We thank you for your love, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.